we truly were made not to survive, but to thrive. That's God's plan and God's purpose. So when we don't see ourselves thriving, then that tells us then that, you know what? God never hinders his children. And God did not die on the cross, pay the price that he did for us to not walk in victory, all right? He did that so we could walk in victory. And so the enemy for years and years and years has endeavored to hold us under religious teaching, under lack and whatever, to keep us from knowing who we are and knowing what our rights are. But once we begin to find out what belongs to us, we can know that we have the right to thrive. Right. You see, and you know, I was thinking when I was sitting down there about a couple of different things, but you know, it's in the same way in the arena of deliverance. God never hinders us. So if we're hindered, who do you think's hindering us? If Jesus has freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, well, what are all things that pertain to life and godliness? Their health, their well-being, they're all the finances that you need. Okay, the Bible says he was made poor that we might become rich, okay, wealthy. So if he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we don't have them yet, then that would tell me that we need to begin to press in more to find out what we need to move forward in or what we need to remove from our lives that we might better lay hold of what God has for us. God never hinders us. God never will block your pathway to keep you from reaching out into that place where you're going to thrive. So if there's things in our way that are blocking us, then we need to be removing those things, don't we? You see? And a lot of times when we got these things blocked in our lives, we have had so many of these things our entire life, so we're blinded to them. We don't even see them. We just walk through life thinking that's the way we are. And see, that's another reason why it's so good to come to this class, because we expose the devil, and you need him exposed in your life so you can remove him. Right. Because we have authority over him, and I've taught you that. But what I started out doing in class this year is I felt like what God wanted me to do was start with basics. Because if we start with basics, we need to understand that we have the right, and not only the right, the responsibility to get these things out of our lives. Because you know what? God has, I said, you know, we talked about the Genesis mandate. So we have some things we need to do. We have some things that we need to do in our own lives that we will never, never do unless we remove some of the demonic hindrances that are in our lives. So it's our responsibility to begin to learn these things and then get them removed. And if you aren't ready to where you feel you can remove them yourselves, then come on up and get prayer. Or when we're doing corporate deliverance, position yourself to let them go and get them out of your life, okay? Because that is your responsibility to do that, because, again, we have some things that we need to accomplish. I was listening to a couple prophecies this week, and both of them, this is funny, but one was a secular one, and I don't listen to secular stuff, but I happened to listen to this one thing on online about the doom that's coming on America. And it was, as I was listening to it, just hear what this guy said, it was kind of interesting because it was the same thing that I had, some of the stuff that I had listened to. And he wasn't, from a Christian perspective, the Christian perspective wasn't talking about doom, but he was talking about some of the things that are the darkness that's coming on the earth, okay? And whether we like it or not, there's darkness here. But we're light. And because we're light, I mean, a good example would be Egypt and Israel. So you had Israel in the world, in Egypt, but yet they were always covered and protected and provided for and came out with wealth, didn't they? They came out with all that they needed and more. So even though darkness comes, we can thrive. See, we can walk in all that God has provided for us. But if our minds are darkened and we can't see it, then that's when we need to come to the place where, you know what? I would, and this is what God gave me, was in Matthew 15. And it's the story of the woman who had the little girl who was demon-possessed. But she did not back down until she got her daughter's deliverance. You see, and sometimes we back down because of obstacles or hindrances and things that keep us and buffet us and attack us and block us. So we back down thinking, well, maybe I can't have this, or maybe it's not my right, or maybe we just don't have enough faith to step out and demand what belongs to us, all right? And we're not demanding of God, but we are demanding for the devil to get his hands off. Again, if you go back, if Jesus freely gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we still aren't laying hold of some things, then maybe we need to step up and begin to start demanding the devil get his hands off. But this woman came to Jesus, and she said to him, behold, a woman who was a Canaanite from the district came out, and with a loud and a troubled cry, she begged Jesus, and she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressing and cruelly possessed by a demon. Now, the devil tries to make people oppressed, miserable, and their lives dysfunctional, but she went to Jesus. We still have that same Jesus we can go to get delivered. That's right. And this was a woman even outside of the covenant of God. We are not outside of the covenant of God. Amen. All right? We're in this covenant. But you know what? Even anybody who's outside can come in, can't they? But what I'm wanting you to see is here's a woman who was outside of the covenant, but knew she could still press in and lay hold of what God had. And it says, Jesus did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and said, send her away, she's crying out after us. And he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent to the covenant people. But she came kneeling and she worshiped him. In other words, she positioned herself correctly in a place to receive. And he said, it is not right, proper or fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And the dogs, when he called her dogs, that's what they called the Gentile, okay? He wasn't calling her a dog like what we would call people dogs today. He was saying this belongs to those that are in covenant, not to those who are outside of covenant. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the little pups eat crumbs that fall from the young master's table. And Jesus said, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was cured from that moment. But he said, healing is the children's bread. And what were we talking about was really deliverance, weren't we? And deliverance is healing. But he is saying it is your right to be free of every demonic voice, hindrance, oppression, that is sickness, disease that's coming against you. That's our right as covenant people, okay? So if that's our right, why are you letting the devil hold it back from you any longer? You see, sometimes we need to say, God, help me to see, help me to wake up, and then begin to go after those things. Because when you learn to lay hold of what belongs to you, then you can help somebody else lay hold of what belongs to them. All right? So I just thought that was something that was good to hear, you know? But I want to talk to you about steps to getting free. And actually, this is part of my new manual that I'm going to be teaching you out of tonight. It's going to be some progression, but I think these are things that you need to know. And actually, even this weekend at the encounter, I'd encourage you to come, because you are going to hear of miracles that have happened in this ministry that are absolutely amazing, even to the point of raising the dead. Because that's what deliverance will do. And this is talking about a physical, where this person was said they were dead, but they're alive today. We'll show you their picture. They go to this church here. But bottom line is this: no matter where the bondage is, it's your right as a covenant child of God to be free. Amen. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's disease. I don't care if it's a negative pronouncement upon your child. I don't care if it's torment in the mind, lack of finances, Okay, there is a spirit called a devouring spirit of debt, you know, that wants to devour your finances. But we have the right to drive those things out. And just like Israel, when God commanded them to go in and possess the land, they had to drive them out. The church has to rise up and start driving out the enemy. That's why we are in kind of the position we are even in our country today, because the church has kind of sat back, but it's time to rise up and take the land that God has given to us. See, and when we possess, we dispossess, okay? So let me read these things to you. Okay, it's important to always allow, and this is talking about deliverance, but I'm going to read you out of the manual. So some of it, I'm just going to like read and then stop and read and then stop. But it's always important whenever you yourself personally are being positioned for to get free, that you allow the Holy Spirit to show you where you need to be free and allow him to expose some things. And if there's things that you aren't maybe too happy about hearing, well, then just hear them anyway and let God speak to you in those. See, the biggest problem sometimes we have is that we aren't willing to own the like sin or the infirmities or the blame for anything. And it's okay to acknowledge it, because if it's here, I want to acknowledge it and get it out. Right. You see? So that's why you would acknowledge something that's there that might not be desirable, but it's in order to get it out of your life. All right? Okay. In so it's important that you allow the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that does deliverance. Matthew 12:28 says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So God is saying when deliverance comes, the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's what it says in Matthew 12. There are steps to take, and these are steps that we need to take that are necessary in your life to destroy legal rights in a person's oppressed life, or if our lives are oppressed. Steps that will help when we go through deliverance to keep the deliverance without wild or out of control manifestations, or in other words, without chaos. And by the way, the devil is the author of chaos, you know? And so we don't have to have a bunch of chaos in deliverance. We're in charge, not the devil, all right? So we don't have to have wild stuff in deliverance. God has given us the mandate. He has to, when you go in and subdue something, you make it submit and put it under your feet. Okay, so we take charge even in our own lives. Okay, Mark 16:17 says, these signs will accompany those that believe. They will cast out demons in my name. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power, not part of the power, but all the power that the enemy has. So we've got the right to rule on his over his power. Colossians 2:15, God disarmed principalities and powers that were raged against us. He made a bold display of them and a public example of them, and he triumphed over them in the cross. Hebrews 2:14 says, therefore, since his children share in flesh and blood, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death. He might bring to naught. So that means bring him to a big fat zero in your life. That's the devil right here. He's at a zero. Okay. Jesus brought him to a place of nothing. So when you are attacked, know that what has attacked you has been brought to this. Nothing, 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 nothing. And so really they're puny. They're weak. But see, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, doesn't he? So he goes about looking like this great big mountain, this great big situation that's almost bigger than we are, but he's puny. He's brought to nothing, you see? So we can start kicking him out of areas in our life that he's gotten into, and we need to do that, and we need to be aggressive with it. Remember, the kingdom of God is taken by what? Force, and the violent take it, okay, as a precious prize. So we need to be aggressive, all right? He said, if you speak to that mountain, Okay? So if I speak to that mountain today, and then tomorrow that mountain tries to put its head up again, I'm going to speak to it again. I'm not going to allow it to do whatever it wants to do. It's going to do what I tell it to do. Right. Come on, folks. You can make that. Come on, everybody should have said amen. We are going to make the mountain do what we tell it to do, right? Amen. Look at the situations that are in your life. God didn't say, I'll speak to them. He said, I have given you equivalent authority that I have. Remember, we're seated beside him in heavenly places, not below him, seated with him. So we have authority that we can make him get his hands off our children, off our finances, off our jobs, off of different things that are going off our physical body. You know, when my son's bone was dead, I would not accept that. That was an incurable thing. Doctors pronounced it hopeless. But you don't have to allow any doctor to tell you it's incurable. Incurable is a name, isn't it? And it says that at the name of Jesus, every name that's named, it's going to have to bow, isn't it? But it's going to have to bow when you make it bow. Because you're the king on this earth. He's the king of kings. You're the one who is in a position to rule. So if you won't rule, it will rule. It'll rule over you. Okay? All right, I need to preach my manual, not all this other stuff. I'll never get it done if I don't. Okay, so without the removing of legal rights, and so that's what we're going to do. The devil is a legalist. Okay, God is not a legalist. The devil for years has in the church endeavored to influence people to feel like we are under this thumb of God, that if we didn't do everything right, God would just throw us out or we would never receive anything from God. God is not the legalist. The devil is. And he will try to hold you to every little mistake you make. But you have the right to repent of any place that the door's been opened and renounce him and kick him out. Okay, he trespasses and he's an intruder and he is not legally over us any longer. You see, he's not. He was. But when Jesus came and died on the cross for us, he is no longer in charge of our lives. He no longer can rule. So therefore, how do you then go in and lay hold of, it's out of your mouth, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. That's Corinthians 4:12. So what do we say? The same thing God said, the same thing Jesus did. When the devil came against Jesus, how did he deal with it? With the word of God. You see, and whether you see something change overnight or not has nothing to do with the fact that if you will take the word of God, you will have victory. But if the devil can get you to quit before you get to where you want to go, God isn't making the journey long and hard. The devil endeavors to make the journey long enough to get you to quit. So you need to be a little tenacious and press in and go after what God has for you. We were 2.5 years with the dead bone, but we didn't know what to do, but we still wouldn't accept it. In the spirit, we didn't know what to do, but we wouldn't settle for it. We need to stop settling for what the enemy wants to dump on us in our lives, okay? Okay, so even if when we pray for people, some deliverance does take place without the legal rights removed, the people still stay vulnerable. Systematically removing the rights that the devil has used for the transference of demons into a person, either before or after accepting Christ, is a vital part of deliverance ministry. Part of the deliverance process is for us to determine then doorways or entry points, and that's what I want to talk a lot about tonight, that the enemy has been granted to access into our lives. Once the consent for the unclean spirit to be there has been canceled or removed, the demon must leave when commanded in the name of Jesus. And that is not an option. See, when you know it's not an option, then you're going to not bow your knee to that thing, even though It may be a rock of stubborn resistance. Remember, I told you that scripture the last few weeks out of Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Okay, that might be a hard rock of stubborn resistance. But even so, you might go to the doctor, you might get bad reports and everything. But once you begin to remove his legal rights, it is not an option. And we do not have to accept death. We don't have to accept sickness, disease, poverty, lack, bad pronouncements upon us or our children. We don't have to. Even though it's a stubborn resistance, it is not an option. He has been defeated. He's been disarmed. He has been brought to nothing. He's puny. He's weak. The devil is, in fact, he isn't increasing. He's getting less and less and less. See, the only way the enemy can really attack us, he does have power. He does not have authority over the believer if the believer will exercise their authority. Okay, deliverance does not take place against somebody's will. Now, that means if you want to keep your junk, keep it, because we can't make it go. I'd like to, but I cannot make, even some people in the area of sickness and disease decide, well, my doctor said this has, you know, is what's happening, so I'm choosing to believe him more than I am choosing to believe the Word of God. That's a choice of your will. Do you know faith operates literally also by the choice of your will? You accept Christ by the choice of your will, don't you? So you can't go against somebody's will. But we as believers need to be willing to make the decision. I need to get this out of my life. I need to start walking in that place of victory. And I don't care whether it's, you know, we're talking about oppression and we're talking about things that are hindering you. But what about sins that you like? What about lying and walking in deception? Or what about looking at pornography? Or what about cheating? Or what about having anger and bitterness and unforgiveness? You see, we have to be willing to get those things out of our lives also, because you know what? God is not withholding nothing good from you, but the enemy is endeavoring to keep them from you, is what he endeavors to do. So we choose where to walk in life. Okay, so deliverance cannot take place against someone's will. The person that wants deliverance must be willing to deal with the issues in their lives. And this is what God will do with you. You might start dealing with this issue, and then all of a sudden you got another one here, and you got to deal with that one. And then you got another one comes up, and you got to deal with that one. Then you got another one comes up, and you got to deal with that one. You finally do start getting better, though, I will tell you that. But we do. We have more than one thing. You know, because for years, the enemy has just been piling junk in there and piling junk in there. But you know what? We have the right to start hoeing it out. And once you start going through deliverance, the liberty you have, the energy, my goodness, you're going to feel like you're actually alive. You're going to have more life. You're not going to be so fatigued and so tired. You're going to have more, your faith is going to be able to operate, because the things that have blocked the doubt and the unbelief that have blocked your faith, it becomes easier to believe God. You become you become more aggressive in the spirit realm to drive him back. It's just amazing. That's all I can tell you. And that's why we want to get these things out of our lives, so that we can lay hold, of our destiny. A legal right in a person's life is the permission or the consent that an evil spirit has gained in a person's life through the person's sin, or through generational sin or iniquity, through traumatic events, things that have happened to us to cause traumas, whether they're emotional or physical traumas or whatever. Those are things where when you're in a vulnerable place in your life, the enemy, I guarantee you, will take advantage of it. Like accidents or sickness. See, he will come in even in when you're just being torn apart with something happening in your life. Those are vulnerable. He sets you up in a vulnerable place, and then he endeavors to access your life. And you know, it can be things like devastation and deep woundedness and rejection and grieving. But how do you fulfill God's plan if you're always walking intimidated and rejected and wounded? even if it's an emotional wound. See, and so that's why when we recognize that, that's not who I am. You want to know who I am in Christ? I'm strong in the Lord. I am bold. I'm victorious. I have faith. You see, so when it's operating apart from that, these are things that the enemy, you know, it says in Hebrews that we are to lay aside every weight, every sin, every hindrance, and run with patience the race that's set before it. So that are the, these are these legal rights that he wants to dump on you. They also can come in from occult activity, okay? And you might say, well, I don't dabble in the occult. You might be watching. Make sure that you don't use the occult to entertain yourself. All right. And when I say that, if you are embracing movies such as Twilight and Harry Potter stuff, stuff that's loaded with witchcraft, you're participating in it, whether you like it or not. You see, we should not be entertaining ourselves with the occult or with witchcraft of any sort, any demonic thing, because what it does is that gives permission for these things to come in and swallow up your life. Toys. You know, things we get our kids. You know, we do not want to bring in demonic things because the occult, when we bring that into our lives, we give consent to these things accessing. We begin to, like, embrace them. Okay, they can also come in through vows or oaths or wrong belief systems, word curses. These things need to be renounced and repented of in our lives. Okay, so that we can take authority over them. Okay, let me just read this because I wasn't going to do these, but just in case you wanted to be a deliverance minister, okay? And I believe, to be honest with you, anybody can cast out a demon, but not everybody's called to be a deliverance minister, okay? Now, we do want people on our team, okay? But, these are some things that we need to do if we're going to be on the team. First of all, they need to be born again. I sure wouldn't want to be casting out demons if I wasn't born again. I just wouldn't. I mean, you know. They need to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They must have walked through deliverance themselves. And in fact, you want to be as clean as possible. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but get this junk out. Endeavor to live a holy life. Keep a confidence. Don't be judgmental. Compassionate, caring. Be under the covering of a church. And it goes on and on. Let me just say this. It is important this is what I'm reading about for the deliverance minister, but this is any one of us. It is important that the person, deliverance minister or whatever, does not make a practice of conversing with demons. People like to, like maybe if you're involved in casting some stuff out, sometimes demons will start talking to you. You really need to be like Jesus, tell them to be silenced, be gagged, hush, shut up. You know, be silent in the name of Jesus. You don't want to get your information from demons because they're liars. And the Bible also forbids us to converse with demonic spirits because it comes into a place of medium, being like a medium. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 15 talks about that. It says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire or who uses divination, that's fortune telling. What is that, Commander? Tarot cards, fortune tellers, these little things that people do to try to figure out what kind of a baby they're going to have. You know, I mean, it is. Superstitions, stuff like that, okay? Those are things that bring in divination. There's other stuff, but that's at least some of it. Is a soothsayer, augur, sorcerer, charmer, a medium, wizard, or necromancer. What is a necromancer? Somebody who converses with the dead. Okay, how do you converse with the dead? Well, you can't. But there are demons that pretend they are like that, okay? So we don't want to get infatuated with that. We need to be careful when we operate in a place of deliverance that we don't get weird in it, but that we stay very, very scriptural. Now, the person that wants deliverance needs to be born again, all right? Now, the reason I'm telling you that is when a demon is cast out, it cannot come right back to you, all right? And a lot of people want to use the scripture where it says that a spirit goes out and not finding rest, he goes out into desert and dry places, and not finding rest, he comes back to his house and finds his house swept empty, empty, swept and clean. And he comes in with seven more wicked. All right. Well, first of all, when a demon is cast out, if he comes back to me, I am not empty. I have Jesus here. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So there's somebody in the house. And it's the one who defeated him. All right. So this is not talking about a believer. When that scripture, I'm sorry, it's not. And actually the word house is the word generations. And when we do not deal with demonic things in our generations, do you ever notice how from generation to generation, it gets worse? I mean, your family members beyond, you know, and you wonder maybe sometimes why your kid acts this way, because it's because we've not had deliverance. These things can, they'll work to make things worse for us, okay? So the person, we want them to be born again before we do deliverance for their protection, all right? The person needs to desire to be free in every area of their lives. That simply means this, that be willing to, if you come here and you want to deal with some of your addictions, don't want to, or some of your sins, if you got sin, don't want to deal with some of them, but keep some of them. You want to get it all out of your life, even if they aren't like things you like to do. You know, sin can be enjoyable, but it can also, it demands its due from you eventually. Remember, you know, I think Pastor Kevin has said this, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pay. You know, so we don't want to entertain that. The person needs to be opened, willing to forgive or release any person that's has a personal debt. So if you've got unforgiveness towards someone, be willing to let it go. Willing to come out of sin patterns, break completely with the occult, or including having things in your home, such as movies or toys or DVDs that have the occult on them. Some people have a hard time. In fact, if you have occult things in your house and you can't get rid of them, if those things hold you so tight that it's hard for you to let go, then that ought to tell you something's got a hold of you. And it wants to keep its place because, you know what? The devil has a plan. He has a scheme, and it's your demise. It's your destruction. He wants to destroy you and your future generations, okay? So when we have things that are ungodly in our home, but we want to hang on to them, and then people tell you, well, you really need to get that out, and you think, well, I can't get it out. And then we've even had people who they have had to get things out of their house, and it's almost like they freeze, and they can't even hardly get it out. They become bound trying to get it out. It's because that thing does not want to leave. And when it's occult things, witchcraft things, in that manner, those things seem to hang on harder and are harder to get out, but you won't get them out lest you break free from them. So let me tell you this. If you have things in your home or in your possession that are occult, do yourself a favor. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. And get somebody to pray with you if you need to, but you need to get rid of those things and destroy them. And actually, in the Old Testament, it says that you should pass it through the fire. And so you should burn them if you can. You know, we have burning things, but, you know, Jack Hayford says he has a deliverance ministry called Cleansing Streams, and he said just take like a cigarette lighter and pass it through the fire. Then get, you know, that's what they tell you to do actually in their deliverance thing to when you're getting rid of occult stuff. But you also, you want to get it out of your house. Just getting it out of your possession, you'd be shocked at how much it breaks off of you. And that would be even like having Harry Potter movies and those things. That is major witchcraft. And when we allow that in our house, we release those things into our homes. Do you know what? They can bring sickness and disease. I mean, it's not just about holding you in bondage. Anyway, get rid of them. Make Jesus Lord of every area of your life. Be willing to release judgments, come out of sexual sin, break ungodly soul ties. Look to Jesus for your help. There can be hindrances to deliverance, and that would be a judgmental spirit, unforgiveness, keeping occult items, and then also having occult or witchcraft in your generations, okay? And so those would need to be dealt with. Unconfessed sin, pride, not wanting to get rid of certain addictions or Fear of deliverance. A lot of people are so afraid of deliverance. Who do you think wants to make, and who do you think, if you're afraid of deliverance, who do you think made you afraid of deliverance? The one who doesn't want to have to leave, okay? And I told you earlier that if we break the legal rights, it's easy to get them out. You see, so we shouldn't have to be afraid of it. And remember, he's a zero. You're just moving something out that's a zero. So he does not have authority and power over your life if you are willing to break free of some of these things. Okay, these would be symptoms in our lives that would show that we probably needed deliverance. That would be addictions in our lives, behavior extremes, bitterness and unforgiveness, compulsive behaviors, depression, fears, phobias, anxiety, those types of things, obsessive compulsive behavior, all right? Voices that are always making noise in our head. Someone who has a lot of junk going on in their head, that would definitely be demonic, okay? And again, let me just go back to this because I actually feel that this is something the Lord wants me to say. If you have a lot of voices and you cannot seemingly get free, then ask the Lord what you got in your house that needs to come out of your house. I really believe there's somebody here with a legal right like that. So cleanse, if you've got something, and it can be the simple thing of like just an occult movie or anything like that. Okay, and you pray and God will show you. Okay, guilt, shame, condemnation, hereditary illnesses, involvement in false religions. That could be anything from Jehovah's Witness to Mormonism to Baha'i to, this isn't really a religion, but Freemasonry. Okay, anything like that that can open doors. I recently ministered to a young woman who, she had voices. But she got saved, and when she got saved, it was like her mind went. And so her family brought her for deliverance. And so when we were walking her through deliverance, see, and she was so excited about receiving Jesus, but it was like all hell broke loose in her life when she got saved. Okay, then everything went, you know, did you ever have that happen to you? We did. When we got saved, it was like all hell broke loose in our lives. And it was because hell really was breaking loose in our lives because we got saved, you know? But we couldn't figure out, and it was at even a point where we thought, my goodness, it was easier before we got saved than it is now, you know? But what happens with this, anyway, this girl came, and it was like she literally went off the deep end mentally. She got saved one day, and boom, she was like mentally crazy. And so had a background in Indian. So there's a lot of witchcraft in the Indian heritage, and I think she's almost full-blooded. If she's not, I think she is. So we came against all this Indian stuff, and she'd access some Indian stuff, witchcraft online, and so we were coming against all of these things, but we just did not seem to be breaking through with what was going on in her mind. When we prayed and broke the authority, she'd been raised a Jehovah's Witness. When we prayed and went through all of the Jehovah's Witness stuff and broke all that off of us, she got a sound mind just like that. It was miraculous. You see, isn't that amazing? See, we don't think that stuff has a stronghold and that there's very strong spirits behind these false religions, but there are. And the more I've dealt with people where there's these types of deceptions, because that's what it is, and he is the father of lies. When those things are broken, which this manual, by the way, has a number of those prayers in it to break that off, she was instantly free. So that anyway, false religions. Abuse of any sort, physical. If a person is abused and goes through abuse, those are, remember I told you, if a person is put into a vulnerable position in their lives, it opens the door through that vulnerability, that traumatic thing that happens, to open up the door for a demonic spirit to have access to them. Usually that happens when they're a child. But if a person goes through physical abuse, emotional abuse, or a child goes through sexual abuse, all of those open up doors like that. You know, I'm going to tell you one really quick story, too, about somebody who went through fear. we were talking about fears and phobias, had a little boy who came here one time, and he had Tourette syndrome and tics. And when he came up, the Holy Spirit said, it is a spirit of fear. So we prayed for like about 5 minutes, and that little boy got free. Isn't that amazing too? You see, so the enemy, because of a situation in his life, took advantage of him, and this nervous disorder accessed his life. But when we removed it, and we actually prayed a couple of times, he was free, okay? So, you know, and of course, then it's our responsibility to also stay free in those areas. Okay, traumas, anger, violence, those types of things. Exit routes, when demons leave us, how do they leave us, okay? I'm gonna tell you some things and this will help you. You know, if you know these things, you can actually work with us, especially when we do like the corporate deliverance. You can go ahead and expel them literally out of yourselves. You know, the demonic is nothing more than breath, it's spirit. And so, you know, if a person dies, they actually weigh less after they die than they did before they died, because the spirit has weight to it, okay? And God breathed the spirit life into a man, and he became a living soul, then he became a living being, okay? So spirit, you know, and it's, anyway, it spirits are easy to get rid of. And this is basically, when you're going through deliverance, these are ways they can leave. Sometimes they leave with no obvious manifestation at all. You don't see anything happen, especially a lot of times with children, little children, you won't have as much manifestation as you do with an adult. And reason being, I believe, this is my opinion, I can be wrong, but I think this is what it is. It's because they haven't been there that long. And they're not as rooted as they are like in some of our lives when we get older. So they just go easier. So sometimes, but even when you're praying with some adults, for some things, you don't see much manifestation. You don't close your eyes when you pray for somebody for deliverance, okay? You keep your eyes open, all right? That and actually the reason for that is that I can watch people and I can tell when things are actually leaving them because I recognize what happens when they go, okay? But they can leave through the throat, the mouth. They actually leave from the various orifices of the body. They can leave through like deep yawning, burping, coughing, or breathing out. That's why I tell you, take a deep breath. Expel it. This is your house, my house. So I have the right, if I've broken legal rights, I have the right to expel anything that's accessed my life, and they have to go. Remember when Jesus breathed the spirit into man, he breathed it into man. So spirits access them, breathe them out. You can get them out, okay? And that might sound weird, but it's the same old, works all the time. You know, it's sometimes when we first got into deliverance, we'd see things happen and we think, well, that's weird. But after a while, you see it happen over and over and over, and there's nothing new under the sun, same old devil. He's got the same old scheme, same old tactics, same old way that he goes, all right? So you can just assist him. Go in the name of Jesus. Assist that. I'm serious. You know, force him out. You don't have to tolerate him. You are in charge. This is the house of God. And I'll tell you what, it don't belong to the devil, period. And that means whether it's sickness, disease, torment, this is my house and God's. And so my responsibility is to cleanse it, get these things out. They also can lead through the eyes. Eyes can flicker, blink. Some people tear up, and it's just like they just tear. They just get lots of tears coming. Or feel itchy. And this happens sometimes with kids. Kids will start going like, they'd be sitting there just as good as can be, and all of a sudden they're just itching all over. And why that happens, I don't know. That's how a lot of times with kids, sometimes adults that way. Sometimes people will break out in a sweat, okay? We had a lady one time who... she just sat there like this. She said she could feel things coming out of her pores. We have seen more people healed of sexually transmitted diseases that no longer we can't even count them on our fingers anymore. HPV, herpes. We've seen AIDS healed through deliverance. Isn't that awesome? And then having them go home and they have authority and they have the right to curse. You know, those are viruses. and viruses are living entities. And Jesus said, when he cursed the fig tree, what did it do? It dried up. So you can curse these things, and they have to dry up from the root and die. You can cut them off from drawing life out of your body, okay? It doesn't make a difference. You know, God is not interested in the fact that you've just messed up. He is interested, but not in the fact of holding you to that. He took it to the cross, paid for it. And so what God is interested in is you being able to be liberated, okay? To thrive, okay? You won't thrive if you're bound up, okay? Okay, these things can, these are a lot of what people experience. They might feel their ears pop. They might feel pressure on their head. Sometimes they feel things leaving out the top of their head. Their hands or fingers, they feel tingling in their hands. These are things even as you sit here, and if we begin to pray, that you will feel this stuff come off of you, all right? What we will be doing in the near future, too, I think we're going to come in and do an entire service with nothing but, in fact, maybe we'll do this after this next time here, the three sessions, where we will do this whole hour and a half doing nothing but corporate deliverance. When we do that, I tell you what, it is huge, isn't it? We have seen people get saved. Miracles happen in this. And it is just people breaking the legal right and then all of us just standing up here and commanding this to go. And remember I told you, if you don't want it to stay and if you renounce it and break its legal right, all over this whole room, the Holy Spirit can come in and move and deliver you, literally, and that stuff has to leave. And when we send them out, we send them to the abyss, we seal them there, and forbid them to come back to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And does that work? It does. It does. Now, Jesus, I read a guy one time who was talking about that, how you can send them to the abyss and seal them there. And I never really thought you could until I read this. And then the Holy Spirit began to show me some scriptures to back it up. And this is what he said. First of all, I looked online and I typed in, where is the abyss? And if you did that, it would say it would be in the bottom of the ocean, bottom of the sea. That's where it is. That's what it says on the internet. So in the Bible, remember when the pigs came and Jesus commanded them and they ran off into the sea? And remember when Jesus said, if you cause a little child to stumble, it would be better that they have a millstone tied around their neck and be dropped to the bottom of the sea. And then he also said, I'll give you three scriptures. He said, whosoever will say to the mountain, the demonic problem, be removed, be cast into the sea. You see? So do we have authority to send them there? And then we seal them with the authority of the name and the blood of Jesus. We can do what we need to do with the name and the blood of Jesus. That's what we were given that name for. Right. If we even had a clue what all is involved in that name, we need to do some teaching on the name. The name of Jesus is so powerful, the enemy trembles at that name. Because when you declare his name, it's as though Jesus Christ is standing right here and just showing him how. And you know what? Colossians 2:15 said he made a bold display of him. That means he literally drug him through the portals of heaven. And every demonic fallen angel had to observe that because their master was being defeated right along with every one of them by Jesus Christ. This was no small defeat. It was huge. It was so big that it literally had enough power to free the entire universe from all the way back to creation to every man or woman that's ever born. That's how huge, and to also heal and deliver, to destroy every work of darkness. That's how huge that was. Okay, and then let's see how else they leave. Profuse sweating. We've had that happen a lot with people who have been on drugs, that sometimes we've prayed with them and it's just like they're soaked when they're done. Through the feet and toes, like tingling and numbness in your toes and fingers. Through the sexual orifices, and through the back passage. Now, we had an interesting thing happen one time. We had a young man that came that had, he was a heroin addict, and he came for deliverance. And when we were praying for him, he didn't tell us this, but I had actually walked someone else through deliverance over heroin, and they told me a bunch of stuff about heroin, and I didn't know a whole lot about heroin, but I'm quite knowledgeable when it comes to drugs, and I really am, and the way I've gotten knowledgeable is all the people I've ministered to, and they tell me stuff, and I think, oh, that's really good, so I write it down, because then I know where to go after the devil next time. And anyway, she told me, she said they lodge, heroin lodges in the spine, the spinal cord, and the spinal fluid. So I thought, oh, okay, so the next time that I do deliverance, I'm casting that thing out of the spinal cord, out of the spinal fluid, because and in the base of the brain. There's certain parts of the body that certain drugs will actually nest. So this young man came. He was a heroin addict. He, that day, major breakthrough that day. But the interesting thing was, is because remember I told you what this girl told me, so I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. So I commanded heroin to come out of his spine, the spinal cord, the spinal fluid, out of his back. And when I did, his back, he had a hole in his back this big. It indented in that huge. And when I commanded that to come out of his spine, his back popped straight. And he had come, he lived with pain. And he literally, that pain left instantly. You see, they say that deliverance is a working of miracles, and it is. And that young man is free today. He's been to Bible college. It's not David, it's another one, but that's another story. Oh, my goodness. We've watched them, some of the ones that almost driving them insane, and today they're free and in Bible school, living for God, walking it out. But this young man went to actually Rodney Howard Brown's school, and now he's in another big, big ministry down in South Florida. But the guy's just absolutely free. And we didn't know about his back problem, but the Holy Ghost did. See, God will set up you to get you free. You know, what the devil set up to destroy you, God will set you up to get you free from all that stuff. So, like I said, we have seen so many, many miracles just through deliverance. Okay. Manifestations. These are things that maybe could manifest through deliverance. You could feel cold. Sometimes when people are feeling like they get like icy cold, that usually manifests in specific areas, and that would be a spirit of death or a spirit of witchcraft. Okay? Do you know death is a spirit, and we have authority over that? Trembling or shaking. Heart palpitations, people can feel palpitations. They can feel pressure on their head, shoulders, while going through deliverance. So in other words, if you feel that, it's normal. It's normal to feel some of these things when you're going through the process of deliverance to get free. So, you know, don't be concerned if, you know, when you're here and we do the corporate deliverance, then what you want to do is just be glad that it's going. And what you want to do is, while we're working and commanding this stuff out, is you keep commanding it too, because it's your house. When we first got in deliverance, man, we'd be going down the road, and we'd be practicing this stuff all the time on ourselves. So we'd be casting stuff out of ourselves all the time. So, you know, when we'd go down the road, we would drive in the car, and the Holy Ghost would show us something else that was there. And so we'd command it to go out, and then we'd go, we'd force it out, cough it out, we'd get it out. But you know what? The more we did that, the more free we got, you see. And you know what? We began to see breakthrough in so many arenas of our lives, even in the area of finances. Do you know, if God says that he will open up the windows of heaven for you and prosper you, is that not true? Amen. But why don't we see it happen? Because you have an enemy who has been set in through the process of generations and through your life that wants to hinder you from laying hold of what God has to you. That's why you have to get him out. The more you get him out, the more blessed you will be. I guarantee you that. More revelation, the more understanding. If you think you're dumb, you get smarter through deliverance. You do, because you get rid of mind-blocking spirits. Okay, physical pain. Once in a while, we'll have people who will actually have some physical pain. Especially in the area of like maybe spirit of sickness or infirmity that's going and leaving their bodies doing that. What we do is that we, because we really endeavor to keep and this is talking about doing some one-on-one ministry, but what we do is we endeavor to keep the ministry time in subjection to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So that simply means this, that if the enemy would in any way tear a person, see, I don't believe people have to be torn to have those things leave them, all right? Now, let me tell you something. You might say, well, that's not what Jesus did. Go back and read what happened to Jesus. He had people like, remember when the little boy with the epileptic seizure, or, you know, was cast into the fire, and, you know, that happened with Jesus casting it out, okay? Well, let me tell you why we don't operate like Jesus did when Jesus was walking on the earth. You want to know why? Because the devil was not a defeated foe when he walked on the earth. But he is now. We're actually, see, what Jesus went to the cross to accomplish what we needed so we could operate in his ministry. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus dealt with a devil that had not been taken to the cross, that was legally ruling on this earth, because remember, he had taken authority from mankind already, and the only place that he was ever confronted was when Jesus confronted him. But when Jesus confronted him, he had still not defeated him. When he took him to the cross, said he disarmed him, made a bold display of him, triumphed over him in the cross, and then brought him to... So this is who we're dealing with, okay? So am I saying there's never manifestation when we do deliverance? No, there's manifestation. And do I like manifestation? Yes. But do I like a person having to be torn? No. And that's when, if you see things like that, you stop where you're at, and there could be a legal right, or, you know, that maybe needs to be repented of or whatever. Or you can just tell the devil, you will not tear this person in the name of Jesus. You will stop and you will come out. You know, he will challenge sometimes you, especially when you first start, because you don't know as much. But the more you learn, the more advantage you have over him. You see, and that is why, again, it's good to learn, because he is at the disadvantage, not us. Our only disadvantage sometimes is that we don't know and understand. But you can learn. You know, you can begin to learn his tactics, his schemes, so that we are on top of things. But again, Jesus took care of every bit of it for us, so we deal with a devil who is completely defeated. Isn't that good? I think that's awesome. That's why I think you see the little bit of the difference there in that. Let's see, sometimes there can be like lumps in the throat, or some people have even had like lumps moving up off their body. You know, and they just come up and go off of you. A stirring in the stomach, feeling dizzy or faint, lightheaded, headaches. And that's only as they're leaving. You don't like walk and have a headache for days and days and days. That just is something that maybe the pressure of it going. Crying, maybe like an unnatural move, like maybe a jerking or a twitching of the arm, like, you know. Something like that. You know, people do that. You know, that's why I like to watch, because I can see stuff. You know, sometimes you can just be casting stuff off, and they'll be sitting there, and their cheek will go, boom, boom. Yeah, and they aren't even aware, but we see it, you know? And that's that thing just going from someplace in the body. Screaming. Normally, there's not a lot of screaming. If we get too much screaming again, see, the devil likes to make a big scene and draw attention to himself. So we want the attention to go to Jesus, not him. So if a person kind of got out of control, and in a one-on-one session, they don't. But maybe like they come up to the altar here, and you know, we got, maybe they got a lot of legal rights, and we don't get them all. We don't even know what they've got or whatever, you know. So if something got out of control, this is what I always tell the team. You just stop it. You just talk to the person, and you say, well, you know, maybe you got some unforgiveness, or you got some, is there some issue? And usually the Spirit of God will even show them. And so then we can pray with them to break its authority, and then it can go easy. Okay? So one of the reasons, too, that I feel that we need to keep order in deliverance is that if you came up here for deliverance and you started rolling around on the floor and screaming and foaming at the mouth and blah, 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 would you ever want to come up here in front of everybody for deliverance again? And which other ones of you would like to come up and act like that? You see? So the devil loves that, because what does it do? It makes people afraid of deliverance. And that is why, again, we don't have to allow him to run our deliverance sessions. We're to be in charge, not the devil, you see? Because, again, we are kings and priests, and we are rulers. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is a lord? A lord is a master and a ruler. We are masters on this earth. We are rulers on this earth, if we would ever get that. And how do we rule? How does a king rule? By the words of his mouth. He gives out commands, doesn't he? You see, the church is going to get this. And, you know, the freer we become, the more understanding we're going to get of who we are. And as we come together as a body, we will begin to really dictate what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. We have authority. Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Okay? And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And the word gates is the schemes and plans and counsels of hell against you. But Jesus Christ, 1 John 3:8, came for this reason. He was made manifest to destroy, loosen, and dissolve every assignment, every scheme, every counsel of hell against you. So if you've gotten some counsels of hell against you, Jesus has already defeated it. He came for this purpose, to undo those schemes, to loosen and dissolve every assignment. Amen? Isn't that good news? So wherever or whatever you've gotten against you, coming against you, it's been taken care of on the cross. Jesus totally defeated it. And he's waiting, the Bible says, for us to make his enemies his footstools. What are the enemies of Jesus? Every scheme, every counsel, every plan of hell against you are his enemies. You know, it's kind of like I've said it before. What gets a parent's dander up more than anything else? Somebody messing with our babies, right? Jesus destroyed everything that would mess with us. You know, sometimes we tell our kids, you know what, just go on out and take that bully right out. Sometimes, and that's what Jesus told us. You go take that bully out. You speak to him. You command him to be removed and cast into the sea. And then you say, and what do you say? You say what God says. You come into agreement with what his word says. And you begin to declare that I am blessed and I am prospered. When you cast out debt or lack and poverty, then you begin to say what the word of God says concerning your prosperity. If there's been assignment against your health, then you start casting that sickness and that disease out. It's a mountain. And then you start declaring what the word of God says about you. By his stripes, I am healed. You know, there is so much power in the word of God. The word of God will not go void, but it will be, when you send it forth, it will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. So therefore, if I speak healing over my body, that healing word, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:20-23, is medicine to my flesh. So when I'm speaking the word of God, it becomes my medicine, and it becomes a healing medicine that no matter what, how impossible it looks, that medicine has the ability to heal every disease, every sickness, anything that comes against us, whether it's our babies in the womb or wherever. Devil, you ain't touching what belongs to me. You get out in the name of Jesus. God is waiting for us to make his enemies his footstool. He is waiting on us to cast out these things. The body of Christ has got to be free, because we truly are living in the last days. And God is waiting for his church to rise up and begin to operate in the mandate that she was given way back in the very, very beginning. And he said, let us give them dominion over everything. See, so who's to be ruling? Start practicing that in your life, okay? And this is kind of what happens. We start taking authority and dominion. And then we're like, okay, I did it. And we sit back, and all of a sudden the enemy tries to rise back up. And we sit there, and we're thinking, all right, I guess I got to get up and do this again. But get up and do it again. Just do it. Because we don't want the enemy, and actually the more you do and the farther you drive him back, you can get him away from you and you can start walking in victory. And I don't care what area it is. Personally deal with yourself and then start driving him out of areas in your house that he is in. And I like to say, I could tell you story after story just in our own lives that we've seen healing, we've seen deliverance. And Sunday night we're going to talk a lot about not ourselves, but some of the great miracles that have been right in this house here. And actually, every story we tell you will be out of this house, because that's where we minister, out of this place. You say, do you know how many churches have a deliverance ministry? What a precious place this is. And you know what? Not only are we being set free, but we're also being equipped to set others free. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm going to quit. I didn't get done, but I think I got enough. Oh, I should do entry points, but, gracious, I think I told you enough of them. Alternative medicine. Be careful what you use there. I'm not going to get into that today a lot. Ungodly relationships. Chronic sickness and disease. A lot of that is actually some of the same stuff, but it just operates a little different. Some of it becomes an access point. I'd like to do corporate deliverance, but it's kind of late, so I don't think we will. But come, you know, we're going to do it. In fact, what I would say, probably in about 3 weeks, we'll do a huge corporate deliverance. And I also have someone, hopefully I can get him again, that does music while we do it, because we do kind of like a warfare music. What happens, some of you have experienced that, what happens with that? I listened to a church that did that one time, and it was like it took it to another level. That was the first time your daughter came that we did that. And that was huge, huge. Her daughter, well, she got saved, and 10 people in your family, you got saved. That was a miracle what happened that day. You know, we hardly got through the sinner's prayer, and that old devil was getting stirred up. But it was, I mean, seriously, come expecting. And we're going to do some more teaching over the next few weeks that are really going to be some heavy stuff that will help you see areas where the enemy has gotten in, plus all these things that I've told you, woundedness, rejection, anger, insecurities, intimidation, all of those on top of everything else that he tries to put to keep us from moving forward. He wants us to cower under him, but we were made to thrive. We were made to be up here, you see. Not to survive and get by, but to literally thrive on this earth. But see, if we're not taught it, we won't do it. You see, if we stay in bondage and we're not free, we can't do it. You see, and that is why it is our responsibility to get ourselves free, okay? And you have opportunity because there's people here that can help you get free, okay? So I'm going to let you go here. Let me pray. God's blessing. And then I'm going to have my team come up, but I will tell you something. We have to be out of here by about 9. Last week we ran way over, and people, you know, so have school and work, go work. So we will pray for a while for you here, no longer than 9:00. So if you see a lot of people come up, you might need to wait till next time, all right? But we're going to pray every week. But not only that, when we do the corporate will do everybody. And I tell you what, some of my greatest deliverances and the stories of deliverances that we hear have come out of corporate deliverance. Because when it's corporate, when there's a corporate anointing, that's an increase of the anointing, isn't it? So the anointing is huge. I've even had people say that it's like a wind that goes through here. Well, who is the wind? You know, and it says when deliverances come upon you, because the Holy Ghost is there, the kingdom of God has come. The Spirit of God will lead deliverance. He will deliver every single person. He can deal with you individually, and he can heal you individually wherever you're at sitting here, because God can do that. We can't, but he can. All right, all we got to do is release him, okay? It's just about him. You know, we have a good boss. We work with somebody who is really, really at the very top, isn't he? So, Father God, I thank you, and I declare that this word will not go void, but it will go out and produce what you want in the lives of these people. Father, Holy Spirit, God, we just ask Lord, right now, that you would heal into areas where people need healing. Father, that you'd bless them. I pray above all things that you'd cause them to rise up and say no more to the enemy. That you would literally, God, rise up within them and literally know they have faith. They have victory. They have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Father, I pray that we will begin to live in a place that no longer will we be denied what God has purchased on the cross for us, but that we will rise up and begin to violently take and aggressively take back what belongs to us, Father. God, give us revelation. Give us understanding, Father. God, bless the people as they go. Father, we just bind the enemy, and I say not, the enemy will not touch one person in this room. We take authority over every work of darkness, every assignment against their house, their children, their finances, their physical bodies, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because in that name we declare healing, in that name we declare freedom, in that name of Jesus. And I declare that name over you, the name of Jesus. We exalt Jesus in this place. We exalt the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and I declare healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for such a mighty name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can just feel his presence when we begin to declare that name, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you in this place, Jesus. Hallelujah. Halabo shekam barasta. Nengoro so bahash derobaste. Jesus, sombereis tenindo kumbariasta. Necresta buundi daba shikara mokora bakata. Meheson dalele bo so rahaskara titeshta. Mundera haso brahaka. Mehista. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, Spirit of God. Mecresto mahista. Lord, we exalt you in this place. We exalt you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. God, you have given us resurrection life. You've quickened and made alive these mortal bodies. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that healing, deliverance is a children's bread. We are in covenant with you, Lord. God, we thank you that in that name we have authority over every work of darkness. In the name we have healing to areas in our lives, God, that have been so broken and so devastated and so stolen from God. But Father, you restore in that name, the name of Jesus. And I declare in the name of Jesus, be restored tonight. In the name of Jesus, receive restoration where the enemy has stolen. And I declare that those that have been stolen from God, that you will recompense them. And where the enemy has endeavored to even steal destinies, I declare that their destiny shall go way beyond. That God, you will make them literally a deliverer of what the enemy has endeavored to rob them of. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are raising up your children, your brahaso marakata. We bless the house. We bless the people in this place. We declare arobo ke se marheska. I declare that children that have been bound are being set free right now in the name of Jesus. That chains and shackles are breaking off families and generations in the name of Jesus. I declare that in the name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against any person in this house can prosper. I declare those weapons that have been formed against you, that's a word from God, will not prosper. They cannot prosper. He is defeated. He is disarmed. He has been made a bold display of. He has been triumphed in the cross. He has been brought to naught. So I declare that cancer tonight has been disarmed, made a bold display of, triumphed over in the cross, and brought to nothing in that name. All that was done on the cross is represented in the name of Jesus. the name of Jesus, the Domoskaresta, Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus. I declare liberty in the name of Jesus. Holiness in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask, God, even that, God, brokenness, where people are broken in this place, that Holy Spirit, you would just take those broken places and reintegrate. You are the healer, Lord Jesus, of the brokenhearted. And I pray that broken hearts be healed tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, that, Lord, you've given him a name, that at that name, every knee will bow. Jesus, Jesus, God, just heal, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are the healer of the broken. Heal emotions. God, where people have been abandoned and left, fill those empty places in them with your presence, Jesus. You're not orphans, you're adopted. Let him fully adopt you. Just receive that quickening, that Abba, Father, the Holy Spirit within you crying out to the Father, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I declare healing, 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 healing. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Holy Spirit, I declare silence where the enemy has endeavored to cause noisome pestilence in your mind. I declare silence. I command the noisome pestilence to go. I cast it out right now in the name of Jesus, and I speak peace. I say, peace be still in the name of Jesus to your mind, your emotions, your will, your psyche in the name of Jesus. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just go home with that name on your lips. Hallelujah. Don't leave and just get caught up in everything. Go home, and even as you're driving in your car, pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just move forward in him, because he's getting ready to take us into a place where we've never been before. Hallelujah. God's ready to move. Praise God.